welcome back to The Hum. I am Karina Joss, astrologer at Flax and Gold, and one half of the art duo Abacus Corvus with my sister Jo. We put out the podcast The Hum and the Holler together on the same feed. That is about doing spell work and magic with the calendar of the year. And this is the extra astrology podcast that happens on the same feed. This one, just called The Hum. And this is where I take you through all of the astro weather that is of note between new moon and new moon. So we are at the Libra new moon this month. The new moon will be exact on Wednesday, October 6th at 7:05 a.m. Eastern. And this new moon has a lot going on. So I'm going to get into the various side players and subplots that are happening on this day. But before I do, I want to remind you that every new moon is an occasion to begin again. The new moon is a time of planting and initiation, and the sign that the new moon shows up in tells us what area of our lives it will be beneficial to do some kind of recalibrating around, setting some intentions toward. When we're working with new moon in Libra, the focus is on relationships, on art, on harmony, collaboration, conflict mediation, partnership. Anything you do that requires balancing and receiving input from someone besides you. Being part of a dyad, being part of many dyads, many pairs, many duos. The people that you are tied to, that you need to put in some work with, are who I think of with Libra. Libra's about the commitment. It's about showing up reliably again and again with respect, with curiosity, with a sense of I can hold what's coming up for me as I listen to what's coming up for you. There can be room for both of us. If you're someone who wants to work toward those Libra goals, this is a beautiful day for you to do so. If you're someone who already is very good at Libra energy, there is some more complexity you might want to work with during this new moon. So let's introduce what's happening. On the day that the sun and the moon team up together, they will be at 13 degrees and 25 minutes of Libra. The planet Mars is going to be hanging out real close to there, Mars at 14 degrees of Libra, and the planet Mercury also pretty close, 19 degrees of Libra. So there is a tight conjunction to Mars, loose conjunction to Mercury. What this tells us is Mars brings energy, passion, vitality, also some aggressiveness, some tendency toward conflict. Just in general, that's what Mars brings as it moves around and pings off of things. But when Mars is in Libra, its aggressive energy is directed toward how do we keep the peace, which is a paradox, which I can think of people I've seen at protests who self-deputize themselves as peace police and beat up people that they see as being unruly. That's not what you want Mars and Libra to look like in your own personal life. To me, that's an example that reminds me of the ways that we can unconsciously perpetuate the harm that we see others doing by believing that we are justified. I'm doing this for a good cause. The ends justify the means. I'm in the right here. This is all tricky territory with Mars and Libra, because Mars and Libra still has the same aggressive conflict-oriented impulses as it would in any other sign, but the tools it has to use are the tools of, but I'm doing this for you, or I'm doing this for us, or I'm doing this to keep things peaceful. And for some people, that can look manipulative, that can look passive-aggressive. For some people, it looks just like burying your anger, pretending you don't have boundaries, and finding out later that you are seething with resentment, that you are completely depleted, that you don't know why you just hate this friend, Why don't they know that they are bothering you? You've never told them. So that's where Mars and Libra can get into trouble, is when you or your dear ones or the people you run into or have to work with have any kind of lack of awareness around, what do I really want? How am I trying to get it? What are my tools? What is the impact of what I'm doing right now? I think it's safe to say not a single one of us has total and complete self-awareness about these things at all times. So let's be generous to each other. Let's be gentle to ourselves and pay attention to where this energy might crop up and muddy the waters a little bit in our relationships. So that's the first piece, that Mars conjunction. With the Mercury conjunction added in, and this is Mercury in retrograde still, we want to talk about it. We want to talk about it. We want to talk about the things that bother us with Mars right there. We have a lot of energy for it. But how we communicate can be a little muddied as well with Mercury retrograde. If you are planning to process today, if you have a conversation that wells up spontaneously, or that you have been planning to have with someone you love, in which you are hoping to resolve an issue with care and respect and clarity, this might not be the day. You might need to put in a little extra work if this has to be the day. So remember, if you are doing ritual with the new moon, that all of the beautiful Libra energy around harmony and art making and love making and sweetness and all the good Libra things you want to be calling into your life this month, they're still there. You can still work with that energy. But you might want to add something to your altar or to your ritual to acknowledge the existence of Mars, to acknowledge your shadow side, where you can do harm unconsciously, and to acknowledge the boundaries you might need. Looking to October 7th, the very next day, we have Venus moving from Scorpio to Sagittarius, which brings a lift in our relational energy. When Venus is in Scorpio, there is so much focus on doing depth work in our relationship, where we need to make space for the vulnerability that we feel with those we love. And sometimes Venus in Scorpio would rather not do those things and can get a little sealed off. Scorpio is an energy that either has the capacity to skillfully show up and respond to crisis and pain, or it is a sign that recognizes those things need a response and does not have the energy to do it and goes into freeze mode. Whichever Venus in Scorpio mode you have found yourself in over the last month or so, this is going to bring more of a party atmosphere. When any planet moves into Sagittarius, there is this buoyancy. Sagittarius is the sign coming directly after Scorpio that balances the ways that Scorpio can get excessive. And I want to say that with the full understanding that every sign can get excessive, and every sign has one that comes after it that balances it where it has gotten a little out of hand. So when Sagittarius gets excessive, Capricorn steps in, and so on and so on. But as we move from Scorpio to Sagittarius, we're moving from the brooding, the introspective, the reckoning with pain and loneliness and grief. We're moving from that to a renewed sense of faith, which is a huge theme this month. Jupiter will be moving forward a little bit later in the month. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. There is a lot happening that's shifting us from this space of needing to be with the hardest places in ourselves to remembering that there is a future and that it is unknown and that we can move toward it with a sense of joy, ideally, right? I mean, we all know the world we're living in. And so I don't want to encourage an unreasonable sense of optimism about what will happen this month as this shift occurs. How I see it is this is a shift that's giving us more capacity to tap into the daily joys in our own lives that can offer us resilience for this longer struggle. So Venus is moving into Sagittarius. The only thing I would advise as like a cautionary activity around this is don't be reckless. We're still in a pandemic. You may or may not be vaccinated. Even if you're vaccinated, you may not know the risks. We're in a time of uncertainty with the Delta variant and if people do or don't need boosters. And so with Venus in Sagittarius, there is a desire to not pay attention to consequences and to just do the thing that feels good now, ideally with a lot of people, ideally in some kind of really fun way. So I hope you get to have that experience, and I encourage you to find it in a way that is safe and careful. And then on the 8th, the conjunction between the Sun and Mars perfects. So Mars was all up in the business with the Sun and the Moon on the new moon on the 6th. And now, 2 days later, that conjunction between the Sun and the Mars is exact. So this is an energizing influence and possibly an irritating influence as well. Mars brings like a rush of energy to anything it touches. It is fiery. The Sun is also fiery. If you are someone who suffers already from impulsiveness, strong temper, the kind of impatience that makes you move in such a way that you're hurting yourself or breaking things, which I'm raising my hand right now. I'm constantly breaking things. This is a day to just, you know, pay more attention, slow down when you can, don't get so riled up that you're causing yourself minor accidents. Sun conjunct Mars can be really a little bit of a kicker that way. And Sun conjunct Mars, as a benefit, as a gift to us all, can help us get undepressed. It has this rush of adrenaline associated with it that if you have been feeling unmotivated, if you've been unable to feel that spark of enthusiasm, or you've felt a little bit of a spark but you've been unable to act on it, this is a day that rewards moving towards that, moving towards what it is that you actually want, or saying no to what you actually don't want. It is a good day for doing all of that kind of, I'm here, I deserve to be here, this is what I'm for, this is what I'm against, and here's what I'm going to do about it. Anything like that, really good energy for this day. Do be aware that Sun conjunct Mars can also make people a little ornery. So if you are someone who has a temper, be careful, count to three, take a walk, do the things you need to do to make sure you're not unnecessarily lashing out. And if you're on the internet, maybe just don't read the comments. Just keep away from places where you might get triggered or upset about the state of humanity. Okay, so on October 10th, we have Saturn stationing direct. This is something that happens usually just in the background of our lives. I don't often dwell on it when I'm writing horoscopes or doing this podcast, because Saturn spends a good deal of the year in retrograde, as do many of the other farther away planets. But we are coming out of a time right now when there are so many retrograde planets that it has been energetically sludgy. And so as Saturn stationed direct on the 10th, it is the beginning of this movement of many other planets that will begin going direct in the next week or so. So I just want to name October 10th is when things start to shift. And you might want to pay attention and see if you are sensitive to a sense of forward momentum happening on this day. Following on the heels of that, we have Venus and Saturn getting into a lovely relationship known as a sextile. And this is a brief influence, but it is a really important influence for anybody who has some work to do around something Venusian. So I'm going to talk about what those things might be. This newly forward-moving Saturn can be a tyrant or a coach, depending on your relationship to Saturn in your own birth chart. In the astro weather, I'm talking more about influences that affect everybody, and so I'm going to be speaking about Saturn's more helpful, friendly mentor side, and not so much the voice in your head that's telling you you're never good enough, right? So let's pay attention to the best of Saturn in this moment. And when Saturn comes as a coach to Venus, Venus is how we make art. It's how we create anything of beauty or value, and it's how we express love and ask for love. With a Venus sextile to Saturn, this is a gorgeous day to take seriously your artistic process. Maybe not do like the big creative brainstorming phase, but get into editing. Pull out some old work that you're not sure if it's finished and spend some time with it. Cull it. Do the final touches. This is also a beautiful day to fix things that are broken that are beautiful. Reframe something, mend some clothes, check in with a friend about a relationship conflict, and just ask, hey, did we fully resolve this? Are we good? What does it feel like between us right now? Saturn is the principle of conservation. And so with Venus and Saturn getting together, there is beautiful energy about preserving, conserving, consolidating, stabilizing, and structuring anything you love and anything you're trying to create. Following this Saturn day, just 2 days later, we have the Sun trining Jupiter. More party times, essentially. Jupiter still in retrograde, but right about to turn direct. Venus in Sagittarius. And now this Sun trine Jupiter, a trine in astrology, is effortless support. Big bear hug. Like deep mutual regard. The Sun, when we're speaking in these big astro weather terms, is how we are trying to be in this world, our purpose, our sense of self. With the trine to Jupiter, there is a collective lift in our spirits, a return toward, I can be curious about the future, I can be enthusiastic about my ideas, I feel confident again about whatever it was that has been weighing on me and plaguing me with insecurities. There is this permission with Sun trine Jupiter to begin taking risks in our lives again. Again, I want to say, as a very cautious Virgo with Saturn square moon in my own birth chart, please don't take unnecessary risks with COVID. Okay, leaving that there, coming back to the party. Sun trine Jupiter, if you, my friend, have been feeling isolated, depressed, shut down, anxious, and particularly like you are stuck in a smaller version of your life than you ever wanted, this is a day that can help you energetically shift back toward your bigger life, your more exciting life, the life that includes adventure, wandering, conversations, learning, all sorts of unexpected opportunities. And 2 days later, we come back to some crunchiness. We've got the Sun squaring Pluto. Pluto is one of the outer planets that brings with it a sense of anxiety whenever things brush up against it in this way. Pluto is where we pay attention to what has gone wrong and what could go wrong, and kind of like a worst case scenario level, not like a Saturn assessment where Saturn helps us understand, oh, you know, I made this mistake, I could do better next time, here's the cause and effect of it all. Pluto is a lot more about the kinds of loss or the kinds of irredeemable change that we might grieve for the rest of our lives, and yet we have to find a way to live with. So when I think about Pluto and anxiety, I think about climate change. I think about hundreds of years of colonial devastation. I think about this long cycle of history that we find ourselves caught in that has such little respect for life, that feels so impossible to turn the wheel, right? I think often of this metaphor from when I was a younger activist. I've done various forms of activism for most of my adult life. And when I was young, when I was in my teens, early 20s, even up until my late 20s, I believe, I had such faith that we were going to transform the world in my own lifetime. I just couldn't imagine that not happening because I had such a clear vision of how the world should look. And I would be at collective meetings, I would be at actions, I would be at reading groups, and I would be arguing, I would be learning, I would be speaking, you know, as a presenter. And in every one of these circumstances, I had this imaginary idea that there was time still to turn the wheel of the vehicle that we are in called Western civilization, if we could just find a way to get into the driver's seat and turn the wheel before it went off a cliff, was sort of the way I was thinking about it. In later years, I have come to think more about how that moment has passed. It's no longer about averting disaster. It is about learning how to live in a vehicle that is already sailing off of a cliff and prepare ourselves for the worst things to come. I know this is a huge downer. While I'm talking about faith and I'm talking about coming back to joy and optimism and all of the Jupiter Sagittarius good vibes of this month, and yet I think the two need to be held, one in one hand and one in the other hand, because we're going to need both of these perspectives as we move through the years to come. Just because the car has gone off of the cliff does not mean that we're all dead already, that there's nothing left to do. It does mean we might need to shift our tactics. So, on a day like October 17th, when Sun is squaring Pluto, you might want to pay attention to what worst-case scenario stories come up for you, where you might feel a sense of doom, a sense of hopelessness. And remember that even if there is a lot of truth in those stories haven't ended yet. That's all. Just staying like one sliver away from nihilism. That is my hope for all of us right now. Go right up into the edge of nihilism, look into the abyss, pull yourselves back, my friends, and say, yes, that is one possibility. And there are others. If you are a Lord of the Rings nerd, I also invite you to think about, you know, two small hobbits walking towards Mordor against all odds while the entire world around them burns and is in war, right? And yet, there are these two small hobbits walking towards Mordor. So there are many ways of connecting with hope in dark times, and I encourage you to find the ones that are gonna do you the most service right now. Okay, back to fun times. I know this is a really confusing podcast. We're like, going dark, going light, going dark, going light. This is the nature of October 2021, my friends. October 18th, Mercury and Jupiter are both stationing direct, meaning this is the day they stop moving in apparent retrograde motion before beginning to move forward again. And then we got Mars in a beautiful trine with Jupiter. So my sound effect for this day, it's just like a huge, like, whoosh kind of energy, like thinking about like a plane taking off or the beating of geese wings as they're all lifting off for flight. This is a day that has a tremendous buoyancy and uplift, essentially. You might find yourself wanting to dance around a little bit, just saying. And I think that's a fine thing to do. This day also marks a shift energetically where, as we are opening up again toward possibility, momentum, futurity, you might also want to remember what it feels like if you have like a limb that you've been pressing in such a way that it falls asleep, and then you get those pins and needles when it comes back to life. If you, my friend, have been especially shut down lately, and by lately I mean, you know, March 2020-ish, if you've been in get things done mode, I can't afford to feel the bigger feelings mode, I can't even pause and imagine the future yet mode, some of the energy of this month, and particularly as it peaks around the 18th and then the full moon on the 20th, some of the energy of this month might feel stressful. The bigness, the momentum, the push forward can feel a little triggering, can feel a little pins and needles. So make room for that as well. Don't listen to this podcast and think, Karina promised me joy. Why would Karina promise me joy and then I would feel such anxiety on such a day? Just know that coming back to life can sometimes involve the pricklier feelings as well. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And this energy, it's not just, you know, I'm giving you a day by day, but it's not just this energy happens on this day and then it's done. We're talking about a movement that is continuing through time. So this marks beginning phases. You don't have to do it all on the 18th. You don't have to feel great on the 18th if that's not available to you. But you will be able to find your way back toward what optimism and enthusiasm might look like for you more easily in the days following October 18th. And now we're back to a little bit of a crunchy day again. This is October 20th, and it is the full moon in Aries. Always full moons are the culmination of a sign's energy, and they help us really see and surface what's happening with that sign and then release it. So while we try to cultivate and plant seeds and grow on the new moon, on the full moon, we tend to harvest and what is it that you do with the things that you don't harvest? For someone who uses gardening metaphors constantly, I know nothing about gardening or farming. So I'm imagining that there is a really beautiful old-fashioned word. Like, I want to say like chaff, but I'm not quite sure that's the word for the things that you let go of after the harvest. You keep the fruits, you let go of that thing. So, full moon in Aries, we want to be acknowledging, loving, leaning into the power and goodness of Aries energy for its life-giving vitality, for its fierce advocacy, for its boundary setting, its courage, all of the things that we love about Aries, while acknowledging there are ways that Aries can become excessive, and I am ready to let go of some of them. These ways will be easy to see on this day because the planet Mars, ruler of Aries, troublemaker, conflict starter, Mars opposite the moon on this day means, even as we are beginning to kind of like release Aries energy, there's more of it getting poured in, right? So our cup of Aries overfloweth on this day. And if that weren't enough, we've also got Pluto in a square to the moon and Mars as they are opposite each other. Mars and moon opposite each other alone is a day when people might be feeling extra feisty, extra defensive. When you bring Pluto in, we are adding the weight of the anxiety of these god-awful times onto that. Please be careful on this day. This is a day where it will be easier than not to accidentally get into some high drama situation that does not serve you or the ones around you. So just be a little extra mindful. Don't hide from the world. No need. Unless you're someone who hides from the world every full moon just because you know your sensitivities. But just be aware that there is a likelihood that people will be feeling extra emotional, particularly the emotions of anger, fear. And when people are feeling anger and fear, they often feel self-righteous and justified in taking actions that they conceive of as self-defense that can be incredibly harmful. So I hope you do not run into those people on this day, and I hope that you do not become those people on this day. A quick note too, that the Pluto square to Mars will be perfect on the 22nd, which means we've got that energy hanging around for 2 days. While this influence is happening, take all of the precautions that you might take on the full moon day itself. Pay attention to your motivations, be willing to look at your shadow side, and maybe even check in with people about potential impact before you say or do something that could cause a stir. And on the 23rd, the sun moves into the sign of Scorpio. We are entering Halloween season. We are entering Samhain season. We are in the time when the veil is thin. We are moving toward a reckoning with the transformations of death and rebirth. That's all. Just that. During the season, it's important to always pay attention to what energy we have to do the work of looking at where we've been hurt, looking at our anxieties, holding courageous, brave, loving, resilient space to heal around those, and how much we're just goddamn tired and can't do it. That's always the question during Scorpio season. Remember that you have a choice. Learn how to track your capacity and the cost. Not just your capacity as in what can I do, but also the cost as in even if I can do this, what will the consequences be to my well-being, my mental health, my physical health, my relationships, all of the things. Also want to shout out to Scorpio season being one of my favorite seasons. I know it sounds kind of dark. I am a grown-up baby goth, but I love the clarity that we can get during Scorpio season around everything that has been in the shadows and murky and around the edges, that this is a time when we collectively pay attention to what many of us choose not to pay attention to throughout the rest of the year. And I kind of love that. And yet, my friends, we still want to party. Venus and Sagittarius still doing the joy and excitement and who can I hang out with thing, is squaring Neptune on October 27th. And Neptune really brings out our longing for more than we can ever have in this lifetime. Venus square Neptune can be intensely romantic, intensely idealistic, can bring the sparkly, falling in love kind of energy to an encounter. Venus square Neptune can also mean that we lose track of important boundaries and limits for ourselves, especially if we're enjoying ourselves or if we are doing something in service to someone we love. So if you have any kind of codependent or addictive tendencies, if you find that in the past you have too easily lost track of time and boundaries and limits in pursuing an experience of pleasure or dissociation through pleasure, be careful on this day. Make sure that you got some support. Make sure that you kind of have a plan for the day and that you can stick to it. Similarly, if you are someone who tends to overgive, to find a sense of satisfaction in paying attention to other people's wants and needs and how well you can meet those needs, which is, you know, a beautiful thing to find satisfaction in, but comes with the danger of not understanding your own limits and needs and boundaries, this is a day when that too can get stirred up. So if that is your pattern, I invite you on October 27th to have a plan for what you are and aren't going to do, for whom and when, and maybe turn your phone off and maybe just don't answer some texts. And finally, October 30th, the last transit before the new moon of November 4th, we have Mars moving into Scorpio. Extra energy in all realms Scorpionic. Mars, the traditional ruler of Scorpio, is pretty happy in this sign. And what I like to imagine is, you know, the sun has been here for a few days now, and there is a courage with the sun in Scorpio to be looking into the shadows. But when Mars moves into Scorpio, there is the willingness and the energy to take action about what it is we have been learning and seeing. So I think of those first few days of sun in Scorpio from the 23rd until now, so about a week, as assessment, sort of an assessment period of what is newly coming into my consciousness, what am I becoming aware of now. And then on the 30th, with Mars moving into a Scorpio, it will be much easier to take action on those things. And we should note as well that when Mars moves into Scorpio, that means it's moving out of Libra, where its tools have been counterintuitive at best. So anything that has been difficult to clearly name and resolve during Mars in Libra can potentially have a lot more energy around finding, if not solutions, at least finding, oh, this is the thing that's been driving me nuts. This is how I need to talk about it. Or this is a boundary I need to set with this person, and I haven't yet because I was afraid. There's a lot of courage that can come with this placement, specifically courage around doing something that you think might cause a big transformation, that might shift some of your relationships, and yet is still worth doing. As always, I recommend that whatever you learn about your shadow side with Mars and Scorpio, that you offer that piece of you some love. You know, pull up a chair at the table, offer a cup of tea, get to know the motivations for that piece of you rather than reacting with a sense of shame or disgust or disownership. The more that you disown your own shadow, the bigger it becomes, my friend, and the more in control it becomes of your actions and behavior, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. So I will end this movement into Scorpio season with a big welcome to everybody's monstery, shadowy sides. May we all see them clearly, learn to love them, and find appropriate ways of integrating them into the whole so that they do not become the ones driving the ship. All right, my friends, that is it for this episode. I'll check in with you all next month. Look for, let's see, when does it happen? The new moon on November 4th. So look for the new moon podcast to show up November 3rd. I will talk to you then. Bye for now.